Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along, episode 194 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here this week, and how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What have you been up to?
Recovering mostly from my exercise
regime. We'll come to that in a moment or two. We'll find out more about that a little bit later on. Anything else thrilling this week?
Not really.
No, your life's not been that amazing out there in your face.
I'm not a superstar like you, Jason.
I've done absolutely nothing, so I'm in no way a celebrity, but there we go. Right, coming up on the show this week, what we got?
Well, a very lovely exhibition that you can take your children to it started last week, didn't it?
It reopened at Wolverhampton's Art Gallery, Sensing Sculpture.
Yeah.
Also, we will be finding out about a proposed festival in Brown Hills.
We have our music for today from the Clock Tower, Jason.
And from Jimmy Davis as well. We'll be hearing from him too. But first of all, last Wednesday, we took you out and about, didn't we?
We did, and it was very cold. It was very chilly. And I got lost going there as well, so I was a bit late.
Yes,
Jason.
You're late everywhere you turn up. But a while ago, we chatted with Nick Slater from Urban Boot Camp All Weather, and this is what happens when Zoe and I went out and about. Well, Zoe, we're here at Colton Hills in Wolverhampton with Nick Slater.
Very chilly as well, it is.
It's chilly because it is Urban Boot Camp All Weather, and this isn't too bad weather compared to what you sometimes have, is it?
Not too bad, no. We've had some pretty bad weather recently, but we've certainly been living up to the name.
It's just a bit breezy. Yeah. But there we go. Right, now we're actually on a tennis court, and make some noise. You see, you can hear that. Right, and we're under floodlights. You've got running shoes. I've got running shoes on. You're very good.
These are proper running shoes as well.
Okay, that's good because you may well be doing some running. Nick, what have you got lined up for Azzo?
Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stations. I don't know whether we'll get through them all or not. We'll see how we get on for time, but I'll talk you through them as we go. I've got the Corridor of Pain to burn your thighs first of all, though, so we'll see how we get on with that one.
Okay, so explain what has to happen here.
Okay, so first of all, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 sandbags. We've got a squat 10 times on each one, but in between that gap is about sort of 3 or 4 metre gap. I want you to lunge in between each one. Okay.
You can demonstrate.
I'll do a demo, or I might even do it with you. We'll see how we get on. Okay.
Okay.
Right then, you ready?
Right now, I'll stand back here and watch.
Okay. So Zoe, look, this is what we're looking at. Okay, Wanny, get the bag. Get the bag up onto your shoulders like that. Okay. Squat. Okay. 10 times. I'll count out for you, nice and deep. Okay. I want you to push your bum out at the back. Keep your chest up at the front and keep your chin up. Okay. And then I want you to walk lunge onto the next one and do the same again.
So it's a bit of a like Ministry of Funny Walks type thing. That's good. That stretches everything, I suppose.
It does. Okay, so you ready? Right, let's get that up onto your shoulders. We'll have 10 repetitions. Are you ready? In 3, 2, 1. Okay, let's go. Yeah, I will do. Okay, so yeah, try and keep the heels down. That's it. Good. That's 2, 3. Lovely. 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, best thing to do with that bag is just let it go behind you.
Dropping the bag. Yeah, it's the funny thing. You're hoping I'm going to sweat or something, are you?
It's unlikely, to be fair, but
in
this weather particularly.
Let's get that next bag up. Oh, your shoulders do the same again, so you want your feet shoulder width apart, okay? Just try and keep the heels down. I'm going to squat down 10 more times. There we go, that's better.
Okay, so you've done the run down there, and how do the thighs feel?
Like I say, it's my knees because I've got bad knees, you see.
Old age.
And it's the knee bending bit.
Okay. There we've got two massive bits of rope and some big things on the end of them. What are these?
This is a battling rope, okay? But basically, so this is a bit of an upper body one for you, okay? So quite a few things that you can do with this rope. So we're looking at that sort of situation, okay?
So a wobbly snake type thing with a rope.
Wobbly snake thing, yeah. Okay, so with your arms, you kind of want to go with the flow with it. Try not to sort of fight against the weight of the rope because it's quite heavy. Okay, so we're going to go for 10 seconds. I want you to drop the rope, run out to that first cone, come back again, another 10 seconds. Okay, so you can see what's coming. Run out to the next cone, come back again, so on. So we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 runs out and 5 goes with the rope, okay?
Oh, it's not so cold anymore.
So we take it away.
We're going to do 10 seconds.
So 10 seconds with the rope.
Count backwards for you from 10, okay?
I bet it won't go anywhere. Go
ready?
On then.
Here we go.
Faster! Oh, come, that's hardly wobbling at all.
It is.
You look like you're milking a cow.
one. Okay, dump the rope.
You're making me laugh.
Off she goes. She's running to the first cone. And she's coming back again.
Okay, grab the rope.
See if you can make it wobble better this time.
Will this get rid of my bingo wings?
This will get rid of the bingo wings. Oh, specifically designed for bingo wing eradication.
Now, over here, you've got boxing gloves and pads. This could be messy. She can get violent at times.
This will at least keep your hands warm anyway. So if you want to pop that on for me. Velcro you up. Okay, so with this, just make sure that when you're punching, okay, actually make a fist, okay? Because you need to make sure that you're not going to sort of hurt your fingers. Right, so I'm going to get the pads on. Okay, so I want a similar thing with this one, okay? So we're going to be punching the pads, okay? So we're looking at uppercuts. So you're going to be 1, 2, 3, 10 of those. Out to cone number one, back to me. Ready? Okay, here we go. Flat one, 10. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Out to the cone with the big gloves. Back in again. Okay, make them uppercuts for me. 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Cone number two, back in you come.
I don't do exercise.
You don't? But what was it like doing that? Because it's a different environment to work in the gym, isn't it?
Enjoyable, being outside.
Even if it is a bit chilly.
Yeah, well, you don't get cold though when you're running around.
And do you find this sort of thing works better for people during the winter months than the summer months, maybe? Because in the summer they want to go and sit and have a beer by a barbecue, whereas in the winter they're maybe a bit more focused towards getting some of the puppy fat off.
Yeah, definitely. I think it does people good to get out during the winter months when it's dark all the time. Get them out, soak up a few rays, even if they are through the clouds. And, you know, it all helps to add to the good mood. So, yeah.
How did I do?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. What did you think of Zoe's efforts there?
I used to be very fit at one time, but now I've sort of let it go.
Well, you're nearly 40.
Yeah, so.
I think I'd give you out of 10. I'll give you an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, that's not so bad.
That's not too bad. It's better than I expected, to be honest. And when you're working with people, how many months does it normally take to get someone into shape from a bad starting point?
Well, we've got a product that we sell where we can knock a stone off you in 28 days. We can do it quickly, or, you know, there is a bit more of a slow, gradual thing where, you know, say 3 months would be about right, really.
So how many times would I have to do that a week?
Three times a week, ideally, really. Yeah, definitely. With a sensible diet as well.
So, you know, the classes that you do, I mean, I've just been doing it for like 10 or 15 minutes. How long's a class?
45 minutes, really, yes. So,
absolutely shattered.
Yeah.
We have little
water breaks in between, so.
And how do people get in touch then if they want to be subjected to this on a regular basis?
Yeah, so they can call me 07505 225165 is my number, or they can log on the website. You can just Google Bootcamp Wolverhampton or Telford, look for Urban Bootcamp.
Or urbanbootcamp-allweather.co.uk.
That's the one.
Brilliant. Nick, thank you for this. It's been great fun.
Cheers.
And
shorts, though, Jason, I noticed. You promised me shorts. I'm driven halfway across town.
Next time.
Cheers.
Thank you.
So you've had a week to think about this now.
Yes.
What was your reaction to all that? Because at the time, obviously, you're a bit out of breath. You got, what, 8.5 was it out of 10? So you did all right.
That was quite good, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic way of keeping fit, I must admit, because I only did a few, 10 minutes, was it? 15
12,
minutes?
Actually. I'll 12, check the recording, yes.
And the next day I could really feel it. I could barely sit up and down and get up and down the stairs. I was aching that much.
And you did nothing.
And I hadn't really done a lot, no.
No. But if you do want to see some of Zoe in action, you can. Go to JasonForrest72 on YouTube. You can see some clips there. And you're sporting your milk bar shirt.
I am. That you could win, Jason, I believe, in our
You could. We have one of those to give away in the goodie bag for our competition. All you need to do to enter on that one is...
Email.
Yes.
Studio at...
themilkbarpodcast.com. How many times?
No, I did think it was that. I was going to continue if you didn't laugh.
Email studio at themilkbarpodcast.com. Just say hello. Tell us what you think of Zoe in her T-shirt and dancing around as she does. And you could be a lucky winner. Simple as that.
Yes.
But it's great. Enjoyed your workout with Nick.
I really enjoyed it. And if you want to keep fit, I can imagine. Did he say... If you go 3 times a week, you're going to lose a stone.
You could lose a stone in 28 days.
Yes, I think I can believe that, to be fair.
It was hard work.
Yes.
And we're talking, we're in negotiations.
Oh, not something else.
He wants to get us over to Telford, over at the Nuffield where he works, to have a little bit of a workout in the warm down there.
Oh, okay.
So he's threatened to make me do some exercise. And
oh, that would be funny.
Yes.
I'll film that.
Mm. And you know how you were disappointed he wasn't wearing shorts?
He'll be wearing shorts.
He'll probably be wearing shorts for you.
That's worth going to then, isn't it?
Downside, I might be wearing shorts as well. But there you go. I actually do have fantastic legs, but there you go. So that is potentially to come. Right, should we take our first tune?
I think we should.
This is The Clock Tower and Naughty Little Head. From The Clock Tower, and on the phone from the band, Ryan Evans. Hello, mate, how are you doing?
How you doing, Jason? You all right?
I'm good. Now, we played that one down Molyneux the other week, and you had some good feedback on that, didn't you?
Yeah, great. On the Facebook page, and everyone was saying to listen to it, and they could tell that voice from anywhere. So.
That's good.
No, it's a fantastic sound, and I'm looking forward very much to when I see you up there in the charts knocking One Direction off the top, to be fair.
Oh, I think everybody would like
that. I'm looking forward to that as well, Jason.
Because, I mean, you're a band who've got the energy. I will say you've got the attitude as well, because I know you guys, and you've got the right kind of attitude to succeed, I think. But, you know, it's really growing, isn't it? And you're back in the studio recording some more stuff. You've got the Days of Rosie Road that was released last year and we talked about. But
yeah.
Whilst we're listening to a few tunes from that as we go through the show today, tease us with what's due to come.
Like I said, we're recording back in the studio, putting some tracks down on that, which is going really well. So hopefully there'll be a release in a couple of months. I can't really say much about that, but hopefully there will.
Mm-hmm. So it's working on it. Who are you working with on that? Who's your producer?
I can't say.
Oh, is it a secret?
Ooh. Yeah.
Is it somebody big?
Yeah. I mean, it's not much of a secret, but it's just we're working with quite a few.
Contractually obliged to let on to what's going on. Yeah. But where are things with the band at the moment? Because since Andy O'Brien joined you to help out, is he on bass, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, bass guitar, yeah.
Give us the rest of the lineup as well.
Actually, I had a great bit of news off him earlier, actually, and I never knew about it till today.
Yeah.
He told me that he's related to Dusty Springfield.
No, I didn't know that.
Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
Seriously, yeah.
That's not something you keep quiet normally, is it?
No, I think he's quite of a modest guy, so.
Who else have we got in the lineup at the moment, then?
We've got a saxophone player as well now that comes and plays on a few gigs. And he's played with Ocean Colour Scene and the Rain Band and stuff, so he's a late addition to the band. Uh-huh. He adds quite a lot to the band as well, if he plays a bit of percussion as well in between, so.
You work him hard on stage.
Yeah, definitely.
I do like the sound of the saxophone, though.
I think it works on a track that we've got called Making Waves, and it seems to go really, really down well live, and the crowd love him, so. Mm.
And talking of live, you've got several gigs, particularly as we head towards the summer months, because you're in studio for the next 2 months, and then come May, you're actually hitting the road again.
Yeah, we're playing a charity gig for a girl who unfortunately died of epilepsy, and we're playing that in Derby Cricket Ground. So that's one that we're doing. We're also doing the Audlin Music Festival on the 25th of May. I was talking to the management on the phone earlier, and there's talks of doing the Rock and Bowl Festival, which is the 26th of May. So quite a lot of festivals.
Quite busy. Let's hope the weather's nice.
Yeah.
If it's all outside.
And that's a good way
I won't be wearing a vest top, though. it's not my style, though.
No. So you would have been excited at that point.
I know,
you
know? I might have come and watched.
She does get carried away. The music is enough to send you down
I tell you.
So a festival's a good way of introducing your music to a different crowd, because you do get a lot of different people who are there to see a lot of bands, aren't they?
Definitely a younger crowd as well. They seem to be loving it, jumping up and down. And when we played the Shrewsbury Fields Forever Festival last year, there's a few crying at the front and stuff and screaming our names and that, which is a bit mental.
but that's good though.
It's all good.
Yeah.
There'll be lots more of that to come, I'm sure.
Yeah,
right, we're going to take a listen to Kiss Your Glass now. So, right, thank you for joining us, and give us the web address before you go so people can check out all your tunes and look at the videos and stuff you've done over the last few months.
Yeah, you can download the debut album, Day Zero Zero, our official website, which is clocktowerofficial.com. It's also now on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and Last FM. And you can follow us on Twitter at underscore the clock tower. So that's it, Jace.
Okay, and Facebook too.
Oh yeah, facebook.com/clocktowerofficial.
There we are.
Lots of ways to make sure they're up to date.
Oh, you need to know, because I say these guys, I don't know why you're not already, national heroes, to be honest, because your sound is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's brilliant. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Catch you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Ta-ra. Smell us down.
see your glass, Jason.
Whenever you back in the song, it sounds like an invite. But
it's an invitation to carry on listening.
Okay. You get stranger by the week. Right, to the phones we go, which will be normality returned, where we find the curator of the, a bit of a hands-on sculpture exhibition, Sensing Sculpture, which is back in Wolverhampton. Carol Thompson, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, yeah.
And all excited to have your exhibition fully reopened and up and running again.
Well, it opened just over a week ago, on the 2nd of March, after a major... Well, we spent a couple of months deinstalling the old exhibition and putting new items in there. It's had a sort of top-to-toe refurbishment, so it's been a huge project. And, yeah, we're very excited about the new gallery, and it's lovely to be able to see visitors coming in and experiencing it.
Now, the interactive bit of an art gallery, though, normally involves kids playing with jigsaws of some of your famous works. That's nothing like in this case, is it?
No. It's actually, we encourage everybody, children and all visitors, to interact with the artworks themselves, which is pretty unusual for an art gallery. Normally, there are hands-off signs everywhere, whereas in this case, we are encouraging everybody to touch the sculptures, to really engage with them, get a feel for the materials they're made of, how they make you feel as a visitor, really. And it's very much about visitors' own responses to those works. And they're good pieces of sculpture as well. They're not, you know, it's a real top-end sculpture by some pretty well-established sculptors.
Is there going to be any chance of any damage at all? Well, can you let your kids loose on them?
All the sculptures have been chosen for their sort of robust qualities. and that did limit the choice, to be honest. I mean, I had to look through our collection with our collections manager and choose sculptures that we thought could withstand that sort of contact and touching. But pretty much everything has also been coated in a wax coating, just to give it a little bit of protection. But they're pretty durable, actually, and we've had that gallery open in its previous form for about 10 years. And apart from, you know, a bit of dirt here and there, the sculptures have been fine. So it's great to be able to enable people to touch them. And it can actually be a very therapeutic thing, actually. There's a lot of studies being done to show that by having direct contact with artwork, it's actually really quite good for the soul and great for learning as well. You know, children, I think, particularly get a lot out of that. We've certainly got all the hands-on aspects with the sculptures, but we have other interactives in the gallery as well.
What sort of things have you got there?
Well, actually, I mean, one of the sculptures here that is very interactive is a new commission by a sculptor, well, an artist, really, called George Clark Roden, who is from Wolverhampton and trained in Wolverhampton. And it's a light and sound sculpture that you actually walk into. It's a sort of curtain of acrylic rods that have light projection coming through them, and as you walk through them, they pick up the sound of you sort of moving through the rods, and you can go into the center of this sort of circle of rods. And it's quite wacky, actually. It slightly messes with your senses, but I think that's the fun thing about it. So particularly younger people have found that really, really intriguing. Mm. We've also got some interactives for different age groups. Got ones that sort of enable you to sort of get you thinking about the sculptures a little bit more and looking for certain things in them, particularly the sort of marks of tools and how things have been created. But there's also a range of interactives for younger children, for sort of fives and unders, really. Just getting them to think about qualities such as, you know, whether things are heavy or light or solid or rough or smooth or, you know, and three-dimensional qualities. So that's quite fun. And we still have our sensory cabinet, which has all kinds of bits and pieces inside it. Lots of drawers that you open and you find different things to explore. We have a very nice seating area, actually, where you can just chill out and sit and sort of look at a few books or sit while younger children are having fun with the interactive. So quite excited about that.
You've got a visiting piece as well, haven't you, which was done by somebody who came to Wolverhampton College of Art in the 60s. The Drunken Clergyman.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Sounds like my kind of artwork.
Is it Vaughan Grills?
Vaughan Grills, that's right. And I have to admit that piece isn't quite in yet. We're hoping that will be installed this week. But it's a fascinating piece. It was actually inspired by, it was done when he was a student in Wolverhampton. In fact, a lot of the works that we have in the new gallery are by people who were either students at Wolverhampton or who taught there. So there's a very strong influence on Wolverhampton-based sculptors. Mm-hmm. But Vaughan Grills was a student there in the 1960s, and apparently he had a visit to a Burnie Inn, which at that time was quite a sort of trendy sort of place. And he saw a picture of Irish coffee. And this is quite a strange thing in the 1960s. And he came back to Wolverhampton and sort of played around with this idea of the dark coffee with the floating cream on the top.
Mm.
And he came up with this idea for a fiberglass sculpture which wobbles around, and he reckoned it looked a little bit like a vicar with a clergyman's collar, with the white collar at the top, black outfit and white collar. And he was creating these things called pun sculptures. So he liked the idea of sort of playing around with words and images. And this sculpture, it sort of sits more or less on floor level. But when you push it, it makes a sort of slurping noise. It's got liquid inside. So that, you know, it's quite a thing, really. So
designed to be played with.
Indeed, yes. So it's playing around with, well, obviously three-dimensional sculpture, but sound, and it's very, again, quite interactive. So that'll be fun when we get that one in place. And as I say, we're hoping that one will be in by the end of this week, or certainly early next week. And we've got another piece on loan as well, which is by Roy Kitchen, which is a steel sculpture called Cuthbert's Crush. Roy Kitchen was one of the founders of the Museum of Steel Sculpture in Coalbrookdale, so he's quite well known for his steel sculptural works, very influenced by the Black Country and the iron industry. So yeah, very excited about those. And we have a whole load of audio interpretation in there as well, which we're quite excited about, because we've got poetry that's been inspired by the sculptures, and that's all been written by local people, and some really good sort of discussion about the sculptures. The people involved with that have been from the university. So there are different layers, really. You can dive in fairly deep if you want to and find out a lot about sculpture, or you can just sort of go and have fun, you know, touching the sculptures and exploring them for yourself.
Well, this sounds absolutely massive. It's not like it's going to spill over the road as well.
I was going to say that. I was saying how big is the art gallery to fit all of that in there?
Well, the exhibition space itself is not huge. I mean, I think we've got about 20 works in there altogether. So hopefully uses the space well. And I think it's a nice space to be able to explore and keep coming back to. I think that's the idea. We want people to, with it being a permanent exhibition, we want people to keep coming back in and finding something new each time.
I think it's a nice introduction for children, isn't it? And people perhaps that haven't visited an art gallery before.
Yeah.
It's a nice gentle introduction to them, and then they can enjoy it and come back and see the rest of the exhibitions that you've got there.
Absolutely. And I think one of the really nice things about Sensing Sculpture is that you can, if you come in with children, you can just relax and think you've not got to be watching them all the time, you know, worrying about what they might touch. You know, you can just let them go around and explore. We want people to do that and just really sort of interact with the works.
As long as they only do that in that gallery part of the building and not elsewhere, we'll be okay. That's the only worry, I think. But it sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I've been to the art gallery loads of times. I don't remember having seen it in the past. How long was it away for?
It's only been closed since the middle of January.
So I should pay more attention, I think, is the answer to that one.
It's the one, if you go past where the cafe is, it's just it's just beyond there.
I probably haven't made it past the cafe. I think I may have gone into cake.
That was a stumbling block.
Lured in by the cake.
Yeah.
Most famous cakes in Wolverhampton.
Every time that happens to me, I don't know how it is, but there we go. Well, Carol, thank you for joining us. It sounds like it's going to be really, really good. And no need to rush, but do get down there soon and start going back and see it several times.
Indeed. Well, thank you for letting me talk about it. Well,
give us the opening times for Sensing Sculpture.
The gallery is open Monday to Saturday from 10 until 5 p.m. Sensing Sculpture is open at all those times. I have to say that while we're still installing a few bits and pieces, we are occasionally just closing the gallery at about 3:30. So just be warned that we may need to just close it a little bit early to put some extra pieces in. But we are trying to do to keep the gallery open during visitor opening hours if possible.
Because unfortunately, the thing about working hours is when everybody works, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
If you want to get down, but it's less likely to happen on a Saturday, I would guess, though. So you probably
certainly not on a Saturday. So no, that's right.
Make sure that you can get yourself down there, have a look at that. And what's the current short-term exhibition at the moment?
We've got several on at the moment. There's the Butler Baylis Poet Painter of the Black Country. That's incredibly popular.
Yep, ongoing still. Yep.
That's still on. I think that's on through until the end of April. We've got the Zed Nelson photographic exhibition, which is called Love Me. That's a really powerful exhibition looking at people's attempts to conform to the ideals of beauty, I suppose. So that's definitely worth a look. We've got the cosplay exhibition.
Oh, we were talking about that the other week.
Yeah, I think you've already had a chat with David Hancock about that one.
Yes.
So that's still on. We have our pop art exhibition still on as well, Pop Highlights.
And that tends to evolve a bit as things come and go on that one
too,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Pop Highlights at the moment. We had some new works which were donated to the gallery, so it's a nice chance to put those on show. And some of our best bits, really, it's Pop Highlights, so it's all the, a few of the real sort of prime pieces. So if you can't manage to get down to the Liechtenstein exhibition at Tate in London, then come and have a look at Wolverhampton's exhibition.
Give us the web address so people can check out full details on how they get in.
Okay,
stuff.
So that's www.wolverhamptonart.org.uk.
Thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch up with you again soon, I hope.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, try for now.
Okay, bye-bye then. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's take some more from the clock tower. This is Lucy Allen.
Still with sea.
clock tower there. That was lovely, wasn't it, Jason?
You enjoyed that. Fab band. And yes. More great music now, because we need to take a little tune from a gentleman called Jimmy Davis.
Ooh.
We'll first of all have a chat with him on the phone, and he joins us now. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Really good.
You're gigging this week, aren't you?
We are indeed, yeah.
So tell us more about where you're at, because you're only over at the road in Brum.
We are playing at the O2 Academy 3 in Birmingham City Centre on Saturday the 16th of March. We'll be on about 9:30, and we're supporting a great band from Wolverhampton called City Light, as well as a few of us who are on the bill.
Now, we haven't heard any of your music yet, and it's unusual for us to speak to an artist without having played one of their tunes. So what we'll do is, before we find out any more, we're going to take a listen to your current single, which is called A Prayer, OK?
Fantastic.
Yo, we need change, and we need it quick. Some of the things that surround me and that I see are sick. We've let the fear trick us into thinking that we're heading into apocalyptic waters and can't steer the ship. And so they grip up the rudder but just can't seem to navigate, watching another dream evaporate under the pretense that their greed will gravitate them to status that society really needs to eradicate, but that they'd rather promote. And so rather than vote, they'd rather be out doing lager and coke. Young women clattering booze and sniffing, a small proportion sharing the views of Nick Griffin. Despicable dads, incest, sadism, and criminal lads whose interests are make prison. Chase women, blaze grade, keep their blades with them. I'm seeing hate-driven racism, Great Britain, and it's saddening, but it's happening. Mother Nature taking a battering, global neighbours are battling for supremacy, call people the enemy, control a commodity and be ultimately damaging to the country you're economically managing. How can a nation rebuild itself while you are massacring? I sit and watch but find it challenging and staggering. I see Armageddon and see the storm clouds gathering. Employers think they own us, breaking my back to pay a motherfucking banker's bonus. These the soulless wonder why the pay conditions and equipment angers the soldiers. Pay your taxes, contribute to the economy until the day it collapses. Funding the fight against evil's axis for the purpose of a war the word illegal relaxes. I've got the blues, brother, like Dan Aykroyd, to do the country a favour and ban tabloids. Claim they're for the people with all their sincerity. Coverage consists of a footballer's infidelity and incredibly glamorised ignorance. The sad thing, it seems to magnetise millions in a country full of dissatisfied citizens that are controlling the nation with their advertised opinions. Mass media, it's like mind control. We need to disengage, relocate and find the soul. Time to shake up our conscience proper with both hands. Stranded in a land of emptiness, spiritual no man's. Uncontrolled lending and spending, constant taking, law breaking and rule bending. One man's mind is another man's appetizer, but the voice of the poor for them is a constant reminder. Communities are dead, more segregation, and our kids are force-fed more education. Keep them chained in the house playing computer, because the little kid down the road is bowling around holding a shooter. But if you take a step back and put it in perspective, you might realign your thinking, stand corrected. There's no can of cola for the kid in Angola, just an AK and a taking over the land directive. Yo, we need change pronto. Sierra Leone, Democratic Republic of Congo. Civil war where power is what they're killing for, but in fact it's doing very little more than just instilling pure hatred into mentally raped kids. How could they ever justify what they have created? Afghanistan, destroy and rebuild them. The flow of opium is more important than the children. They call it aid, it's just another way for them to manipulate the trade and make sure they get paid. Would it make you see the light, dude, if you had to spend every day of your life trying to find food, trying to dodge AIDS, avoid malaria, avoid military personnel destroying the area? I'd love to see you vent your anger in Uganda. They might chop off your hands, gouge your eyes out, or simply hang you. I see clearly Chile through the propaganda. Brazilian gunplay slicker than any football or soccer samba. Take your petty knife crime to Somalia and watch when they cut you up worse than the Black Dahlia. The bubbles burst, there's no longer a fantasy you're residing in and hiding in reality, deciphering. And if you can't see, then you aren't free. So move away from the stereo calmly.
Jimmy Davis with A Prayer, that's his current single, released this week. How do we get hold of that one?
You can download that track free at www.jimmydavisaprayer.bandcamp.com.
That's a short and snappy. Okay, we like that, yeah.
Easy one to remember. You know, even easier, just go to my website. That's www.jimmydavisdavis.com.
So a double Davis at the end there.
That's it, man. It's a Davis-Davis thing, you know what I mean? I mean, there's too many Davises in the world, so I had to give myself two surnames, you know what I mean? Double barrel.
It's not a middle name. It's not your parents having a strange idea of what would be funny.
No, I mean, my parents aren't that funny, bro, so, you know.
So it's something you learn from.
And has it got an E in it? That's the next thing you should be asking.
Oh, he's an IS. Davis.
Oh, is he an IS?
D-A-V-I-S, aren't you, sir?
That's the one, yeah. No, he's over here.
No. So, explain your sound then, because we've heard it a bit now. What do you describe yourself as?
It's a really difficult question, and I dislike this question. I mean, I hate trying to...
I couldn't pigeonhole you, so I was hoping you might be able to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm as clueless as you are, bruv. I think you'd have to say it's primarily hip-hop, but fused with lots of different influences, rock, indie, dance, funk... I mean, particularly if anyone comes and sees us play live, it's a real varied sound that we produce.
But how do you recreate that on stage? Because that sounds studio polished to me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm really fortunate that I play with a really great bunch of musicians who are able to translate what I do in the studio onto the stage and just give it loads of energy and, yeah, make it sound really funky and great.
So does it sound the same or is there like...
Is there a live experience?
Yeah,
feel
I was going to say.
Definitely. Yeah, man, there's definitely a live experience. It's a bit of a contrast, to be honest.
Mm.
So let's just hope that people don't come and see us live and think we're brilliant and then listen to the music and think it's apparent, you know.
So how do you work it, though? Do you record something in the studio and overlay it yourself with all the different tracks, or are you using the same set of musicians when you're out on the road?
I do all the music production myself. Yeah, everything from writing, composition, recording, producing, it's all done by me. And then I just use a bunch of musicians, you know, as and when I need to, in a really careless and selfish kind of fashion, you know.
But do you find yourself ordering them about and saying, no, I don't want it to sound like that, I want it to sound like this, because it's your music and you've got an idea of how you want it to sound when it's played live? Or do you just let them go with whatever interpretation they want to put on it?
It's definitely a bit of a free reign, to be honest, and it's a joint effort, definitely. And I'm far too timid and nice to be ordering people around, you know. I'd make a dictator. So
we're going to listen to another tune. The next one up is This Is England. Now, has this one been around a little while longer?
Yeah, this one came out. We launched this during the Olympics, actually, last year.
Now, this is a different sound again, though, isn't it?
Totally different sound, mate. Yeah. Totally different. We've gone for the, you know, it's a lot more of a sort of a rocked up vibe on this one.
And we can expect both of these when you play this weekend at the O2?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Give us the web address one more time.
It's www.jimmydavisdavis.com.
Jimmy, great speaking to you. Have a great gig the weekend, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the future, mate.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. Massive love. Thank you.
See you soon. Try for now.
Bye-bye.
See you, guys. Bye.
Welcome to England, sit down, have a cuppa. Fresh from the chippy, let me grab the bread and butter. See, for some it's about blinging and big money, but for me it's tea, drinking and chip butties. Looking for fit honeys and their fit buddies. Hit the town, class appointing mint curries. When necessary, sit and study. And we graft hard, mate, day and night like Kid Cudi. Our culture is ultra, many have a close relationship with Scully like Mulder. Some are a little too friendly with Charlie, relying on his presence, depending on him to party. Some are binging, what a world's cringing, and tabloid cameras are constantly infringing on the privacy of what they call celebrities. They're caught in the fame, but then the media are their enemies. This is England, home of the English. Party hard and we drink like big fish. Out on the lash all night binges. Council and state dreams from rags to riches. It's the UK, where the Jews play all night till the sunrise of a new day. Many of followers do what the crew say. Jimmy C speaks crystal clear like Blu-ray. The country we're landing on the moon.
90s eclipse. Won the World Cup win 1966. Bobby Charlton, Bobby Moore, Jeff Hurst. Crowder on the pitch, iconic red shirts. And we're dead certs one day to lift it again. Can't believe we didn't win it with Sven. But we've got the best football on the planet right on our doorstep, bruv. This is bloody magic. Typified by the three lions and the bulldog spirit. We never give up, we keep trying. Home to the Stones, Coldplay, Oasis. Where the St. George's was marked by racists. We've had punks, skinheads, muds and rockers. Doc Martens, Parkers, denims and dockers. New romantics, rude boys, ravers, geezers. But now everyone just wants to be famous. This is England, home of the English. Party hard and we drink like big fish. Out on the lash all night pinches. Council and state dreams from rags to riches. It's the UK where the Jews play all night till the sunrise of a new day. Many of followers do what the crew say. Jimmy C speaks crystal clear like Blu-ray. Very selective of what we drink. Either it's get the pints in or I'll have a mug of Twinings. PG tips, Yorkshire Tetley. It's all about the roller coaster. Forget Pepsi. The school playground is like a fashion show. Being the poor kid hits like a hammer blow. And if you're running your mouth, you better back it, because it's if you think you're hard enough, then geezer come and have a go.
This is England, Jimmy Davis, of course. As you say, 023, you can catch him there. Check out all the details, www.jimmydavisdavis.com. Now, we've been talking music festivals and performing with several of our guests.
Clocktown might
be interested in this one. They're doing it for the gigs. Yes. Brown Hills is looking at getting its own music festival. To tell us more on how you could be helping to make that thing a reality, Paul Green, hello, sir.
Hello there, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Not so bad, thank you.
Now, you're part of a committee, I suppose. You're trying to pull this together.
Yes, I'm actually leading a small team of people. What we're trying to do is get Brown Hill's very first music festival.
Now, you're going to cause yourself a shed load of work here, but it sounds like it should be fun for all. When are you thinking of trying to pull this together?
Well, the proposed date at the moment is the 17th of August, although that's not fully firmed up yet, but that's the date we're looking for, is Saturday.
So how are you trying to get support for this? The first thing is normally these days likes on Facebook to prove there's an interest there.
Yeah, well, that's right, obviously. I mean, what we need to do, because this has been sort of started from the ground up, we need to sort of generate a certain amount of interest. Obviously, because we have some funding by local businesses, but they're not prepared to sort of go ahead with it until we can sort of guarantee a sort of minimum level of interest in it.
Mm. And sort of how many people are you looking at trying to get their names on? What's a sort of a mini internet petition to prove that this is going to work?
Right. Well, from what information tells us, if you get 1,000 likes, you are likely to probably get actually probably 150 people who are actually realistically interested at the end. Mm. Because people obviously theoretically sort of either, you know, are interested or they just, you know, they're button clickers.
Yeah.
Realistically, we're sort of looking for 1,000 likes and then we can go back to the people who are going to be interested in supporting this sort of financially and say, well, we think this could be a goer now, so let's take it to the next level.
And are you aiming for a free entry festival or would it be a small charge to cover security?
No, we're looking
like
to do it as a free entry festival. All of the artists that will be appearing will be giving their time free of charge. Obviously, this is why we need to try and make it as sort of popular as possible, because you know, it would be sort of a shop window for their talent as well.
And very much a community event, bringing people together and having a good time somewhere in Brown Hills.
We'd like to think so. Yes, I think it's long overdue. I mean, Brown Hills lost its carnival a few years ago. And we have very, very few community events now. So hopefully this could be the first of many.
See, I don't think you're going to fail to get that money, to be fair, because if you have, say, I don't know how many bands you might want to have on, but they're going to have their own followings that are going to turn up, and then you've got the local people that want to turn out as well. So I think it'll be a success if you can get it all organised.
Well, that's right. I mean, when I checked earlier, I mean, we're sort of in the mid-300s at the moment, but a week ago we were less than 100.
So it's starting to snowball. And as people see it on other people's walls on Facebook, they start to get very interested.
That's it.
What sort of bands have you got to have shown interest so far?
Well, I can't sort of divulge, you know, definite names at the moment. We've got around about 10 bands at the moment. In fact, we're getting sort of quite a following, you know, quite a an amount of people who are sort of putting their names forward. A varying talents, I must say, but we're going to sort of aim to represent all over an assortment of genre.
Mm-hmm. So make it interesting and something for everybody.
That's right, yes, that's right.
Let us know how people can click then. Where have they got to go to?
Well, if they go onto to Facebook and just put in Brown Hills Music Festival 2013, it'll automatically take them there. Or at the moment, there's a Twitter page as well where they can go Brown Hills Fest.
And then all they need to do, press that button, costs them nothing, and there could be a free event that comes out of it they can go along and enjoy as well.
That's right.
Good luck with it all.
Thank
do keep
much.
Us posted on what's going on, and when you've got it finally organised in a couple of 3 weeks' time, let us know. We make sure we got everybody interested, and see if we can get a few people down there as well to watch the shenanigans.
That'd be great. We'll keep you informed.
Cool. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you then. Bye.
Cheers. Try for now.
Bye.
So there we go. Episode 194 draws to a close.
It was very musical today.
Very busy.
Yes.
But there we go. Always good fun. Now, recap the competition one more time.
Oh, yes. If you want a Milk Bar goodie bag, you need to email us.
Mm-hmm.
And the email address is Jason.
studio@themilkbarpodcast.com. All you need to do is say hello. And it's just a bit of excitement as we approach our 200th episode in what is about 6 weeks' time now.
Mm. And it's well worth winning because, I say, the mug is particularly excellent.
You're just,
dishwasher safe and everything.
You're just excited about the mug, aren't
yes.
you? But so that is of grabs. Now, I'm not sure where I'm going to be for the 200th episode.
Oh, you're going to be somewhere foreign.
I might be in Brazil.
Okay.
But we will work it out.
Nice and warm anyway.
Yeah, it could prove interesting. So we'll see how these things come together.
I'll post you a sausage roll or something.
Yeah, you're obsessed with having a party food. Yes.
I know. I need to lose a bit of weight. That's probably why all the party food keep eating.
You can always go back and do some more work with Nick after you work out.
I only did about 15 minutes and I was absolutely shattered.
Yeah,
so
doing
a whole 45.
It would have been really bad for you. But so we'll disappear and be back next week. So off for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.